We welcome you back to KCIM Sports Rewind here on this Tuesday. And guys, we've got a special guest on our phone this morning, and I think somebody that people are going to know around the area, regardless of you being an NBA fan or not. But we've got Nick Nurse joining us this morning. And Nick, how's it going?
Going good. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Nick, we appreciate you joining us here today. I know life's busy. You've been down in Vegas the last couple of weeks with the NBA Summer League. Let's start there. How's the offseason been? I think most people that follow the NBA probably feel like you guys have had a really good offseason so far.
Yeah, it has been busy, first of all. It kind of never ends. It seems like the offseason gets a little more like an on-season every year, but... Yeah, you know, it starts with June, getting ready for the draft. We obviously had the 22nd pick, and we picked LeBaron Filon out of Alabama, and super young talent. We were really happy with that pick. And then right from the draft, you run into free agency, and, you know, every year there's, you know, four or five slots to fill, it seems. And we did a nice job, we feel. We picked up Dean Wade, you know, from the Cavaliers. Picked up Anthony Simons, who's a great scorer, mostly at Portland, but kind of finished up at Chicago with the Bulls this year, but very explosive athlete as well. And then obviously we had that big trade with Jaylen Brown for Paul George and you know, one or two other moves around the fringes. But it's been a pretty active offseason for us, but looks pretty productive so far.
Nick, Casey here. I want to take you back to the playoffs. You guys had a very successful postseason. What was it like, you know, getting through the first round and then the second round on everything like that with the postseason run you guys had?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was a tough year for us again injury-wise, so we were lucky and fortunate and happy to be able to kind of get everybody on the floor there at the end. And, you know, kind of what you always put on paper in the summertime, we just didn't get to that very much with both Embiid and George playing less than 40 games, and Kelly Oubre only played 50, so guys missing a lot of games. But nice run against Boston. Got down 3-1. Not too many teams come back from 3-1, so we hung in there and kind of took them one at a time, and then were able to win Game 7 in Boston, which is, I think, the first time in, I don't know, 50 years that the Sixers had beaten Boston at all, let alone in Boston. So that was good, and then we ran into the champs and in a team that was just a juggernaut at the time, taking care of business big time. So pretty successful. Not completely happy with what we did, but glad we had a nice series against Boston.
Nick, you mentioned the injury issues and finally getting everybody back onto the floor come playoff time. Was that kind of the biggest reason to make the moves that you guys made in the offseason, was trying to maybe rectify some depth or even get some guys in that don't have the history of injuries?
Well, I think that a couple things. We need to get a little bit more athletic. We need to get a little younger, you know, just to try to address some of those things. You know, some of that stuff is just, you know, unfortunate, really, you know, and you just got to move the next guy up and plug and play a little bit, which give our players credit. We had a lot of young kind of unknown guys that kind of stepped into some pretty big roles and did a really solid job for us this year. And I just think that you're always just trying to get the best team out there, you know, best talent you can get. And again, I think we're pretty happy with where we ended up.
Nick Mason here. You know, the season's a long season, obviously 82 regular season games. You get closer to 90 with the postseason, then you go right into the offseason there as well. So what's it like as a coach, you know, being on the road a ton, having a game plan for all these different teams? What does that kind of look like at the NBA level?
Well, it's a lot, and I'll tell you what, once it starts, it moves really fast. You know, the games just kind of keep on coming. So, you know, I think the preparation and planning, obviously got a big staff, very experienced. You know, they got a lot of work to do that comes at them fast, and we kind of rotate things around between different groups of guys as one team kind of one group of guys will get ready for a game, you know, three games out. One's getting ready for two games out, and then you got your kind of main guys getting ready for the next game, you know, that's coming at you. And it just kind of keeps on turning that circle pretty fast. You know, the biggest thing is it is a long season, and you try to you try to kind of roll with the punches a little bit, you know. Big win somewhere, kind of take it in stride. Big loss somewhere, you kind of, or tough loss somewhere, you kind of take that in stride too, and just try to, you know, learn every day and keep the energy levels replenished and keep the guys focused and keep on going. But it is a long, demanding kind of tour that you go on, you know, each and every year.
Nick, I got a question for you. You guys had one of the bigger moves this offseason when you ended up getting the trade to go through for Jaylen Brown. What was it like leading up to that trade, and then kind of what was it like after you found out that the trade finally went through and you guys picked up Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, it's always, those things are always interesting to be a part of, and we were kind of just in the start of free agency, so it's a pretty intense, let's say 8 to 10 days, where we're literally just kind of all together, kind of holed up in a war room, you know, just hammering things out. So you're going through some calls back and forth, you know, you're making offers, there's counter offers, there's all kinds of things going on, and I don't know, it's always interesting because you see like anybody, a lot of the rumors about what's happening or where he might be going. I'm not sure anybody had any rumors about him coming to Philly. So it's kind of cool when you can do that too, where you can keep it out in the news and not have to deal with that, and kind of not let things get sidetracked with that kind of stuff. So I don't know, I guess it was interesting. We thought it had a good chance kind of right from the beginning, just their interest level and Paul, who had a great season, Paul George. And, you know, then once it gets done, obviously that starts a lot of things in motion to, you know, get going with the, telling people, media, getting with the players, getting with the agents, getting with everybody to kind of make the next steps and the transition as smooth as possible.
Nick, how much does, you know, the draft and what you guys do in trades and free agency at the end of the season play off of each other? Because I'm guessing that it really changes maybe who you're drafting, because it's based then off of needs and stuff like that. So how do you work those two things, or really technically those three things, kind of together?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think everybody kind of does that. They say, well, what do we need? And you got kind of your group of players and you rank them and all that kind of stuff. And then you're always kind of got your eye on, you know, best talent available, right? I think that's always a big factor as well. And I think we kind of probably ended up in the best talent available pool this year. We just thought Filon was too good to let go at that position. And he's done nothing, you know, summer league, he's been really good, really outstanding, actually. He's just got, again, like a little bit of edge come in him, and that he's more mature than his age. He's got great composure, and then on top of that, he's got all this athleticism and handles it really good and gets to spots and can really score the basketball. I think he's a really unfinished product. He's a young guy with lots of talent that's going to grow a lot.
Nick, I want to kind of change directions just a little bit. We'll stay with what you're doing in the NBA right now, but I want to change decades. You and I grew up kind of at the same time. I know this is your second stop, but when we were young, Toronto didn't have a program or a franchise back then. But you go to Philadelphia, they have such a great history. You and I would have grown up with the Moses Malones, the Daryl Dawkins, the Bobby Jones, the Maurice Cheeks, you know, the Andrew Tonys, and of course Dr. J on those great, yeah, Philadelphia teams. You mentioned the rivalry, you know, with Boston. It was so big back in our youth. Do you get a chance, do many of those guys stop in, you know, even the Charles Barkleys and stuff, do you get a chance, yeah, to kind of talk with those guys very often?
I do, a few of them. There's a kind of couple different interesting things that are really amazing. They're just really amazing, Jeff. So Dr. J is around a lot. Allen Iverson's around a lot. So I see those two guys and get a talk with them, I don't know, 8 to 10 times a season at least, probably. And obviously, you know, we had Dr. J come out to Carroll National last year. He's become a good friend and does a lot of good things all around, but also with my foundation, he helps out. So that's been amazing. I don't see some of those other names you mentioned around as much every now and then, but I do get a kind of a blast from the past too. I get some of Billy Cunningham, who was the coach of that, that, yep, team that won the championship. He he comes out to practice and we go to lunch once. Well, Doug Collins is a really close, become a really close friend of mine. And then a lot of the legendary coaches, I'm not sure a lot of people, you know, would know Fran Dunphy, Herb McGee.
Yep.
A lot of the old GMs and coaches from the Sixers, you know, Villanova, St. Joe's, University of Penn, some of those guys get together with those guys every now and then too. So it's, the history is deep, man. It is, and it is steep. It is really a fascinating sports town and an area to be, you know, any, if you want to be into sports, you're going to talk about it pretty much all day long living in the Philly area.
Yeah, I was just going to say kind of a two-part follow-up there. One, what's it like to coach in such a tradition-rich, you know, area, even for college and high school ball? I mean, Kobe Bryant came out of that area, you know, and stuff. And then at the same time, you mentioned your foundation. I know you got your own event going to be coming up here in town soon. So what do you want people to know about that as well?
Yeah, so it is all sports in Philly. So it's high school, college, everything. I think it's, I don't know. I tell people it's a lot like growing up in Cara. I live in a little suburb outside Pennsylvania where we pretty much talk about sports, and that's about it. And it's great that way that people care so much. I love it. So, and the foundation event's coming up August 7th and 8th. You know, got a little bit of everything. We got starting off with new pickleball courts. We got a pickleball tournament in the morning. Obviously, golf at 10. Got a pool party in the afternoon, and then a couple bands come in each night. So we got some great music, and you know, something for everybody, and all in support of the foundation, which, you know, we do a lot of stuff at the high school level and lots of music, support both bands, New Hope Village, all kinds of things around Carroll that we're supporting, and just happy to come back and have a great weekend of fun and meeting new people. Friends are there, family's there, everybody gets outside and has a good weekend.
Do you have time to become a pickleball expert? I understand that you were a punt pass kick guy as a young guy, so you've got a lot of talent and skills.
I'm a 0-1 lifetime in pickleball. And it wasn't pretty, but maybe I'll be making a comeback. Just know it's popular and a lot of people wanted to play, so we put up a couple new courts. Just got them done. They look great out there, so pickleball, I think it starts at 7 a.m. That's an early start, but I know those pickleballers like to get up and get after it.
Absolutely. I drive by the one over at Grand Park every day on my way to work, and it's always full with people, and I think it's going to be awesome to have a second set of courts here in town, so thanks for developing those. You mentioned, you know, being able to come back. What does this community mean to you, and how did it help you develop into the person that you've become?
Yeah, I always say this, Jeff, that it just wasn't a tremendous environment, right? I just think that I don't take it for granted that it had a lot to do with any of the successes that I might have been able to have. Just, you know, I think the work ethic, the strong sense of community, you know, the way people back the sports and you know, just back everything in the community to help kids grow and all those kind of things, and you know, just want to give back as much as I can to that. It really, very proud to be from Carroll, Iowa. You know, I'm just proud to be from Carroll, and thankful I had the upbringing that I did, and it means a lot to me.
Nick, it's Casey again. We're going to talk a little Sixers again real quick. You mentioned a couple of times that you've drafted, you know, Filon in the draft this past year. And you also have Tyrese Maxey and then, you know, VJ with the terrific season that he had. What's it like getting to coach some younger guards that are really, you know, starting to get in their prime of basketball there in Philadelphia?
Well, it's great. I think that, you know, we had to lean really heavily on Tyrese and VJ last year, you know, just kind of their talent was growing so fast that we had to kind of give them the opportunity to expand and explore a little bit. But we did have a lot of injuries, so that kind of did force their opportunity into another level. And again, I think Filon's going to fit right in. Just again, a combination of athleticism, youth, mental prep, maturity, composure. I think those guys just got to, you know, you kind of another level on some of those things that I just mentioned. So I think that's what makes it all special. What's it like? It's fun. It's so fun to watch them grow and watch them be so successful and still know, you know, you can see there's a lot of ceiling left and a lot of room for growth, which just keeps it exciting every summer to see what they're going to come with next.
Nick, we're kind of in that transitional period of the NBA as well. You know, we kind of talk about, you know, some of the guys like LeBron, Steph, those guys don't got a lot of years left, and you're starting to see the Victor Wembanyamas, the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander start to take over the league. So what does that look like as a coach now seeing that newer generation become some of the stars that you guys have to start to game plan for?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's great. I think that I don't know if it's natural or, you know, part of the deal, but I think it is, you know, that the stars that are so amazing, Steph's, LeBron's, and KD's, and those guys that just continue to display their greatness. It's just amazing to watch and be, you know, sitting courtside for it. It really is. And then these new guys are also amazing, and I think it's just, you know, handing the torch on to keep the league going, and I think the league's certainly in great hands. I think you know, I had the opportunity to coach Shai with Canada national team, and he's just an amazing person and player. And Wemby, I don't know if anybody's, well, I know I haven't seen anything like that guy. So who knows what's in store for all of us as he continues to go on year by year. So yeah, I think the league's in a great spot.
Nick, I know we got to let you go here soon. I appreciate all the time. One last thing for you. Just when I had Kim forward the message to the other day about being elected into the Hall of Fame back here in your hometown, what went through your mind?
Well, it's great. I think always appreciative and look forward to it. I really hope you know, to be able to get back. I think I will. You and I discussed that.
Yep.
It should work out. It should work out. And that will mean the most to me to be able to be there and humbly and graciously accept the award. So I appreciate you guys and just gives me another chance to get back home.
Well, we're glad that hopefully you'll be able to make it back and come back home, because we know how much you love, you know, being here in Carroll. Nick, again, as always, we appreciate all the time. I know you probably got 100 emails while we were chatting and probably a couple hundred text messages while we were chatting. So thanks for taking some time with us here today.
Okay,
and enjoy the rest of your summer and your event coming up here soon.
Okay. See you guys soon. Thank you very much for having me on.
That was Nick Nurse with the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll step away, take a break. We'll talk some more Sports Rewind when we come back here on KCIM.
Hi, this is Dr. Rick Gotting. Join me here on KCIM at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, where I talk about orthopedics and whatever else really comes to mind. We have a good time on the show, and we would like to invite you to join us.
Listen this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. right here on KCIM for the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Rick Gotting. For more information about St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or call 794-5536.
Okay, is everyone buckled up?
I'm in the back seat, so I'm safe.
Don't think so, bud. If we get hit, you'll go flying, no matter what seat you're in.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Whether you're behind the wheel or in the back seat, buckle up every time, because nearly half the people who've died in car crashes didn't fasten their seatbelts, even though it takes 2 seconds. Remember, no one's a safe unbuckled passenger. Wear your seatbelt and arrive alive. Brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Every 16 seconds, an American receives a cancer diagnosis, and every minute of every day, another person loses their life to cancer. That's why Stand Up to Cancer has set a bold goal to make early stage detection an essential part of standard of care for all cancers. So often, if cancer is detected early, the chance of long-term survival is 90%. So if we all support cancer research, more than 2 million lives can be saved in the next decade. So join the mission and help save lives today at standuptocancer.org.
Network Rewind Show for you this morning here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM. Mason Nealon, KC Miners in studio. We've got, I don't know, would we say a special guest on the phone? I would not say a special guest, but coming to us from Fort Dodge, we got Jeff as he's getting set for the Exira Elkhorn Kimpleton and Audubon game coming up here in just a little bit. And Jeff, how you doing bright and early this morning?
I guess Jeff does not want to be.
Does not want to talk right now. We'll take a quick break and figure out what's going on. We'll be back here with more CB Sports Network Rewind.
Honor a life well lived and a passion for the open road at the Dean Cruz Memorial Tractor Ride, Saturday, July 25th, hosted by Haley Equipment. Tractors and UTVs are welcome as friends, family, and neighbors come together for a day of fellowship and remembrance. Registration is from 8:15 to 9 a.m. at Haley Equipment in Carroll, with the ride leaving at 9. Lunch will be served at St. Patrick's Church in Sherdan. For details, check out Haley Equipment's Facebook page.
Looking for a ridiculous day bargain? Head to Michael's Shoes Thursday. Browse half-price tables and racks inside and outside. Find 20% off throughout the store and save $12 on regular-priced athletic shoes. Doors open early at 7 a.m. Thursday only. Shop Michael's Shoes in the Thomas Plaza, downtown Carroll.
Since 1968, Mackey Motors has been serving Lake City and the surrounding communities with new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Mackey Motors is a full-service dealership providing oil changes in our Quick Lube Express bays, a service department with world-class trained technicians, a body shop and collision center with the latest equipment, a full vehicle detailing department, or come talk with one of our highly knowledgeable sales staff.
Recipient of the GM Mark of Excellence Award for 16 years running. Together, let's drive at Mackey Motors in Lake City. MackeyMotors.com.
The Age of Reason took place over 200 years ago. It was a time of amazing scientific and philosophical progress all over the world. Truth, reason, and tolerance thrived and even shaped the Constitution of the United States of America, the foundation of our democracy. But now those building blocks of America, of democracy, are under attack. In just two decades, big tech social media billionaires have allowed their platforms to roll back truth, facts, and tolerance, and fill the screens in our homes and in our pockets with lies and hate. Online disinformation and hate affect everything, everyone, everywhere. It splits us apart, hurts our children, polarizes our societies, and is literally leading to violence and terror in our communities. Lies and hate everywhere are a threat to all people, anywhere. Be a part of the change. Help defend the future of our democracy. Go to counterhate.com to learn more.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
We're not adults, so just be there and like listen. I just want someone to yap to. And I just feel like I'll be fine like if someone just hears me talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
You're doing a really good job. And I don't think I tell you that enough. And I know sometimes we get into it and it's just hard on both of us. But you know, try to understand me more and I'll try to do the same.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
We are back with the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM. Casey Miners, Mason Eland. Hopefully we got our issues fixed. Jeff going to be back in studio with us as we got him on the phone. And we had a special guest earlier, but I really don't know
if the special guest we have joining us from Fort Dodge is really a guest or even all that special. Jeff, how you doing for Fort Dodge this morning?
I'm certainly nowhere near as special as the gentleman that we just had on here a little bit ago and Mr. Nick Nurse. Guys, thank you. I'm glad we got the issues figured out, and I was able to join you here this morning.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to have a busy morning. Exira, Elkhorn, Kimbleton, Audubon getting set to start at about 10 o'clock or so. 10:10, I think, is when you guys are going to go on with the pregame and everything like that over on our 93.7 KKRL. It was a tough day yesterday for the Spartans as they lost to Edgewood Colesburg 6-3, but saw a really good pitcher, I felt like, in that game yesterday. Jeff, you were down there calling the game with Nick. What were your thoughts originally from the Spartans yesterday?
Adjusted a little bit too late in the batter's box. I don't know if you guys got a chance to listen to the broadcast yesterday, but the one thing I mentioned right away is we know Riley Miller loves that rise ball, loves the pitch up in the zone, and it wasn't being called in the top of the first inning. She adjusted pretty nicely in the circle to be able to kind of figure out where the strike zone was. But the Spartans kept swinging at those pitches that were up in the zone that I don't think would have been called strikes, but they kept chasing them. That was a conversation even Tom Peterson, the head coach, and I had last night after the game. And then again this morning as I just finished up chatting with him for our pregame interview that you'll hear before their game with West Monona. It took until the fifth inning, and he told me what he eventually did is he goes, I told him that they couldn't swing until they had two strikes. And they ended up getting some base runners because she was still trying to get them to chase that top pitch, and they weren't chasing it, and they got some base runners on and able to get some runs across the board. So probably a little bit late in adjusting to the high pitch and not chasing it. And then the other thing, we've known all year long that, you know, you get a Taryn Peterson, a Maya King, you get those kind of runners on base. They bunt, they steal. Taryn Peterson had a steal right away in the first inning after she was hit by a pitch, and she ended up scoring on that off of a hit from Riley Miller. But they didn't try to steal the rest of the day. They really didn't have a lot of base runners because they weren't getting people on base, but they weren't the normal aggressive Spartans that we've seen. I think you're going to see a different team here today. I think you'll see more of what we've seen from them all season long. Part of the issues could have been what they had to go through on Sunday. They came up, they had a hotel rented, they had a room that was flooded, they had a room that was trashed, before they even got there. They ended up having to move to a different spot, then to another spot, and they ended up at the Dome, or at the Dorms, excuse me, at Iowa Central. So, having things kind of the same and a routine for high school kids is so important, and that didn't happen for them Sunday night. I wonder if it impacted them a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I could imagine that, but with the impact and everything like that that they had, you know, especially playing that early, not really early game, it was noon, but it was the first 1A game. You're the first game on that field, and especially somebody that is from the far east side of the state that you don't get to see, especially all that often, that it probably impacted it a little bit. I know West Monona, correct me if I'm wrong, 21-8 they beat Southeast Warren, or no, West Monona lost 21-8 to Southeast Warren last night. Anything conversation-wise, you know, Tom talked about that this morning as they were getting ready for their game?
He's concerned about them today and should be. They were the number four seed coming in. They just had a bad day yesterday. And you know how sometimes when a couple of kids get a hit, a team can get on the roll. But the one thing he told me here this morning was it's not that he's not worried about West Monona, but today is really more about the Spartans playing their kind of softball. And I think if they do that here today, I will be honest with you guys, with helping Mason last night and then doing some things at the office and then getting up at a little after 6 this morning to get on the road back up here, I have not had a chance to sit down and even break down West Monona myself. I'll be doing that between now and 10 after 10 before we go on the air. But so I can't answer a lot of West Monona questions for you right now.
I will say this, looking at West Monona, they've got a girl that's got, you know, we think Taryn's fast on the bases, but they got a girl that's got, I think, 77 stolen bases on the season.
Yep.
So they've got some speed on the base paths, and she gets on and can hit for power and stuff like that. So a big focal point of their offense and everything like that. I understand that yesterday was not the Spartans' day. Tom, say anything about, you know, trying to right the ship and just get them back on track?
Yeah, they've got to have better at bats, and they've got the defensively. He thought they played pretty well, and stuff. But when Riley Miller has all three of your hits, they just need other players to step up and get on base. He did say that they're going to probably try and bunt much more today than what they did, and stuff prior to this. So I think, like I said, I think you're going to see more of what we saw. I didn't think what I saw yesterday was the team that I saw all season long, with the aggressiveness on the base pass, the bunting, you know, the putting the pressure on the defense. I didn't see that yesterday. I think we'll see that today.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree with that. I think that we'll see a better Exira team today. Mason, any thoughts, from you based off? I know you weren't up there, but had the chance to check in on the game and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're listening, and obviously you knew that, you know, this is not what that Exira team is this season. I think that's just one bad game, but now you really have to right the ship because, I mean, you got to win at least 5 games to get back. And for them, though, you wonder. Tom's ultra-competitive, Taryn's ultra-competitive, Riley's ultra-competitive. I know Anna and Abby and some of those senior girls can get up there as well and be ultra-competitive. How badly do they want it now after yesterday kind of having that rude awakening of getting there and then falling in the first game? And you wonder if they're just going to come out and be as dominant as they were in the regular season, or if that loss really hurt him. So for me, though, I know that these girls and even Tom and Chris and everyone on the staff, they're ultra competitive. There's no way that that affects them that bad. They're going to come out and they're going to want it a lot.
Yeah, I think you see it sometimes, especially too when you've got people that are super competitive and everything like that. Maybe losing right away isn't always the worst thing, because now they've got, you know, their backs are against the wall. You know, it's time to put up or shut up in a way. And I think that could be, you know, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but that could be a good thing for them going forward. You know, with how competitive that this team is, that it's do or die now, and they know that they've got to be at their top notch.
It is. It's good for them in a way, because now they're still alive and they still have the opportunity. But I think the biggest thing is we as media, and they need to do this. They can't be thinking state championship right now. They've got to win today first. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be a one game at a time. That, you know, I get it. What we do in our business is, oh, they could still win. And if they win five in a row, they've still got the chance, and they do. But they've got to take care of business today first, and it's got to be this game. Then the game at 7:30 tonight if they advance on. So they've got to have that one game at a time mindset, or they're going to end up probably going home.
Edgewood Colesburg's pitcher, I thought yesterday, Jeff, arguably one of the best pitchers they've seen all season. And I don't think, you know, Xyra Audubon helped her too much. They were swinging at a lot of stuff. But what did you see from her in the circle? And I thought that she was pretty dominant as well.
She was, and you can't take a thing away from her. 15 of the 21 outs come via the strikeout. But as I mentioned earlier, it would have been interesting. The one inning that they didn't really chase the high pitches, they scored their runs. You know, they scored two runs against her, and they got some walks against her. So it would have been interesting if they'd have been more patient in the batter's box early and not chased those pitches up and out of the zone, how that would have impacted, you know, the outcome of that game yesterday. So, you know, not taking a thing away from her, she was absolutely dominant yesterday. But I do wonder if the beginning of the game would have been different if we would have had a different outcome.
Yeah, so if they win, they'll play at 7:30 again tonight, correct?
Yes, yep, and we'd have that game on KKRL coming up later on tonight.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I wasn't quite sure, you know, how that all played out, but I knew that one of these days they'd had to play two if they kept winning. But you can't overlook, you know, West Monona going into the game coming up here in just a little bit.
Right, yeah, and with this double elimination, I think a lot of people, including myself, still trying to figure out exactly how everything is going to work out down here, so, or up here.
Yeah, I know you were up there pretty much yesterday. How was seeing, like, all the action going on, like, on the five different fields and stuff like that?
Honestly, guys, as soon as I got done with interviews, I headed back because I had to write the story, yep, upload the interviews, and get ready for the baseball game last night. So I saw this game, and I was gone right after that. So today will be the day I actually get to sit up here and watch a little bit.
See, now you're different than KC and I, because if we're in Fort Dodge heading home, we're probably stopping at a certain place in Fort Dodge before we come home, and it's the same thing I told you tonight if I get the opportunity to go up there. So I'm not surprised you came home, but I'm like, that's where I think you, me, and KC differ on that one.
Oh, 100%.
Well, I didn't have time to stop at your guys' favorite place because I had to get back to be able to help you last night, Mason.
Yeah, and I appreciate you getting back in time. And but, yeah, I mean, last night, what, two now, eight-1 upsets in a row for baseball?
State baseball, two straight years. The one seed's upset in the first round. And I know that both of you were on the call for that game last night. What I thought Kuhn looked good to start. I don't know really what happened. I don't know exactly, you know, what was going through the minds. What did you guys see last night from Kuhn in that loss?
For me, honestly, I mean, four hits. You had one from Ty, one from Cal, and that one from Cal came in the late part of the seventh inning, and then Caden had two. Just didn't really get the bats rolling, but I think you got to give credit to the pitchers of Moravia is the fact that they were able to, you know, start off with Moore, who threw a really nice breaking ball, and he had a lot of guys on their toes, and then they bring in Ewing, and he's kind of more of a traditional pitcher, kind of goes right at you there, and he struck out a couple of guys back-to-back, and, you know, Kuhn just struggled, and then that, you know, obviously that one play in center field really flipped momentum because, you know, the did he catch it, did he not catch it type deal kind of slowed the game up, let them all kind of take their look back at it, and then Moravia gets two on, one out, and then right after that blasts a two-run double over Cole Kretzinger's head in right field, which was a great hit by the young man who hit that ball. But, you know, you kind of felt like it just flipped the script right there, and Kuhn just wasn't able to get back on track in time to be able to pick up the win.
Yeah, I felt like, especially looking at Moravia, they didn't seem like a typical 8 seed to me. They pitched well, they hit well, and they won, like, what, 22 straight games coming into that? So, like, they weren't a team that, you know, has lost recently or was like your, sometimes you see an 8 seed where they're more right around 500 and, you know, they might have just got hot or late. You know, they weren't a typical 8 seed, and I think that Kuhn ran into a pretty decent team.
Yeah, I agree. You look at their two pitchers last night, and they were dominant. They were really good because that's a good hitting Kuhn team, especially probably the first four or five guys in that lineup. And they controlled those guys for the most part. How often do you see Cal Hayden not getting his first hit until the top, you know, or the bottom half of the seventh inning? So give Moravia a lot of credit. It would have been interesting if they'd have gotten the catch and the double play there in the fifth. But, you know, as John Waddle said after the game, after we were talking to him after the interview, he's like, you know, they didn't score on that play. We still had a chance to get out of that inning with no damage done. Credit Moravia for coming up with the hit out to right field. They got, you know, to the wall and scored the runs and kind of ignited them to be able to get that three-run inning. So, you know, got to give some Moravia a lot of credit. They didn't come in intimidated against the number one ranked team, and they played really, really well last night.
I think I was listening. I listened to you guys for a little bit. Then when I got home last night, I was watching the game on the association's YouTube channel, and they were saying John Waddle, we know two games away from 900, but Moravia's coach is over 1,000 wins, if I'm correct.
Yep. Yeah, he'd had a lot of success at Centerville before going there, and yeah, knows how to coach just like Coach Waddle, two of the very best in the business.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that, you know, sometimes if you're looking at a 1-8, you know, you're like, okay, this team's won 22 in a row. They're coached by a guy that's got over 1,000 wins. They're going to come in prepared and ready to go, and they were.
Yeah, and honestly,
absolutely.
For me, I'm like, I mean, you look at that, over 1,000 wins, and you got that this year. You had almost 2,000 wins combined in that game there. And we talk about, you know, how good John Waddle is, and he is a great coach. But at the other end, you had another great coach and another great team that could hit the ball. So it's like, I think Kuhn really just met that perfect storm that night of good pitching, good hitting, good coaching. They just caught the 8 seed in kind of their best moment.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, maybe if you look back at it, Moravia underlooked throughout the year, you know, based off of their competition that they played. But they've played some pretty good teams just like Kuhn did. But you can't take anything away from the great season. I know they were the 1 seed. You want to win a state championship. But the great season that Kuhn had, you know, it's still a successful season going, what, 28-4 is what they end up finishing. And, you know, had Cal and Ty led the state in pretty much batting average. If you look at 1A batting average, hits, home runs, RBIs. So you can't take anything away from the great season that they had.
No, they were fantastic all year long. Just had one of those games at the wrong time last night. But, guys, I've got to go. I still got to get my books and everything ready to go for the game. Mason, we need this game reloaded as a Marty game now for the tie line, and we need to test it here soon. So as soon as you guys get off the air, we're going to have to test that before we get on for the broadcast. So,
all right, Jeff, I will make sure that happens. We'll do our movie magic behind the scenes here.
I appreciate both of you guys. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, we'll hear from Jeff coming up later on for that Exira-Audubon game as they have that coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk some more baseball and softball when we come back here. It's the CB Sports Network Rewind Show brought to you by Mackey Motors on KCIM.
The Shoal Center in Sac City is celebrating Christmas in July with the announcement of their 2026 holiday series. Three great shows over three weekends. Save $15 on season passes through the end of the month. Go to shoalcenter.org for more information. See you at the Shoal.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM Carroll. Broadcasting from the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studios. You'd rather be here.
As a professional in your field, have you ever wanted to give back to your community? CTE stands for Career and Technical Education. Career and technical educators are professionals who teach the next generation of students going into these fields. CTEs are important because they help shape the future workforce. CTE not only benefits the student learning the program, but the teacher who teaches it.
CTE has impacted me personally because, one, I'm a product of CTE. I was a student in these classes when I was in high school. But also, as a teacher, I get to build these relationships with students. And it's not just subject matter. It's a potential career. It's a potential passion. And you get to work with students and see them going on to careers in this field. I get to work with students in the most unique setting, a setting that's technical, creative, and hands-on. And I think when you bring teachers and students together like that, you get to see a different side of their potential. There is nothing more exciting than that.
If this seems like something you'd be interested in, go to acteonline.org and search for Teach CTE.
We are back with the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you this morning here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM. Mason Nealon, Casey Miners in studio with you. Just heard from Jeff moments ago as he's down in Fort Dodge getting set for the Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton Audubon softball game coming up later on, just about 10-10 or so. That they'll have that over on 93.7 KK. Here out for you guys this morning. If the Spartans win, they will be taken on. I'm not sure who they're taking on, but they'll play at 7:30 tonight. They get the loser of Edgewood Colesburg and Southeast Warren later on tonight if they do win this morning. Mason, you had the chance to sit in at State Baseball all day yesterday covering the 1A. You know, what did you see from some of the teams, you know, especially now that the teams are getting into the quarterfinals and stuff like that going on Wednesday?
Yeah, 10:50 to 9:30 yesterday of just straight State Baseball. So I was like, well, we're gonna really find out what everyone's made of. First off, ungodly hot yesterday. I probably sweated off 20 pounds, I told Jeff yesterday, of just sitting there. But honestly, good crowds from a lot of the people. A lot of people traveled really well yesterday. Not a whole ton of offense, I will say. A lot of pitching duels you saw. There was one game, I think it was Northland and Remsen, 20 combined strikeouts. Both pitchers had 10, and Northland won 1-0. So that's one that I know Jeff would like. But then you had another game in there. I think, you know, South Wind was down 2-0 heading into the fifth inning. In the bottom of the fifth, they put up three runs. And the funny thing is I had another guy in media row sitting next to me that covers South Wind and Sheik. And first thing he says is the bottom of the fifth inning has been their inning for the entire year. They've put up a lot of runs in that inning, and they played really well. And then they go and they put up three runs in that inning and win the game 3-2 coming from behind. But just weird, honestly, the amount of upsets between softball and baseball. I mean, you had Northland upset Remsen St. Mary's. You've had some upsets with, obviously, Coon Rapids Baird. And then in softball, it seems like almost every team's getting upset because how many times are you looking in softball and you see a 1-4 elimination game in a double elimination bracket? Yeah. But just kind of a weird year, honestly, for state baseball. But they did a nice job, the association did with the field and all of that stuff and the people they hired to get that ready to go.
Yeah, and I thought that, especially looking at state softball, the 2A field, you saw the 1 and the 2 seed both lose yesterday in state softball.
Yeah, and I mean, credit to Ridgeview. They're a team that I covered in the postseason against ESAC, and they 10-0'd ESAC there, and I'm like, oh, this team's pretty good. I mean, are they going to win games at state maybe if they get there? Probably not. I mean, you know, you're going to have them be coming in as a 7 or an 8 seed, and it's going to be a tough route, and then they go win a game. And I'm like, I think they're starting to get hot, but at the end of the day, their coach, the old Kemper coach, when they took Kemper to state and they had Danny Stipe in them, so he knows really kind of how to coach the game of softball. But honestly, it's just really weird feeling. And I know tonight we'll see maybe more with who gets eliminated here and there and kind of how that works. But the double elimination is just a weird feeling.
Do you think that plays into some of the upsets that we saw in state softball yesterday?
I think some of the girls walk in there, and credit to them, the ones that, you know, come out and play. But I think some of the girls realize as well, if we lose, it's not the end of the world. We still have, you know, we can still battle back. And so I'm like, and it's the one thing about high schoolers, you know, that at this sport you have sometimes is like, they're like, well, we don't have to win the first game. It'd be nice to win the first game, but we don't have to. I don't think that happened with, you know, Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton. I think Edgewood just flat out beat them. Yeah. But I think, you know, with some of those games, you can get some of that of like, oh, we're down this much, blah, 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 whatever. We can battle back and still win the whole thing.
Yeah, and I think that kind of plays a little bit in those upsets that we saw yesterday, especially at state softball. 2A session going on today there in Carroll. I know that we've got quite a few games going on today. I think four games, if I'm correct. We'll have updates throughout the day today again, I believe. Are they going to be on all three stations, do you know? Or just
we're only on Kick 106.7 for the updates, and they're once an hour, brought to you by Culver's. So I will do my best. I'm going to start over here and kind of help do some stuff around here and also do some updates here. And then after the Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton Audubon game, I'm going to stop out over at Merchants Park and kind of hang out there. But I'll call back, put the updates in, kind of all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So
we will have that for you.
Yeah, we'll have updates for you going on here in Carroll throughout the week as well, with the semifinals on Wednesday and Thursday, then the championship games there on a Friday. Again, want to mention, we talked about it a couple of times, is Ivory Elkhorn Kimbleton Audubon going to be taking on West Monona about 10-10 over on 83.7 KKRL. Mason, want to quickly talk about, you know, I know that we still got Ivory Elkhorn Kimbleton Audubon playing, but if you look at a year in review for us, we'll start in the fall. Kemper makes semifinals in state volleyball. We've got Kemper and Audubon both at the Dome. Kemper picks up a state championship in football. You look at basketball. Coombe with a very good season in basketball. We get two teams into state basketball with Carroll and Kemper. Kemper in the state championship game. You know, state track. Trayvon Keeley wins a state title. We've got Wendy Veit, who was a four sport qualifier down there, picking up a second place finish. You know, in summer, Kemper girls making state golf and everything like that. It has been a fantastically great year for us, sport wise. I think across the CB Sports Network.
And honestly, even you go back to some of the other sports, like Xyra Elkhorn Kimbleton basketball making it for girls. The Coon girls were right on the doorstep with St. Albert. We had two people finish in the top two for wrestling with Carson Webker and Macy Rasmussen. A bunch of other people finished within the top eight. And in the summer, we also had Kemper boys make it for state golf. The Kemper girls made it for state golf. I'm just blanking on every single sport that we have to
cover. Coon boys state golf.
Yeah, Coon boys made it in state golf. And then now in the baseball season, a lot of good years this year. And then now it's like the weird thing. And the first thought that I had yesterday after getting done with the game is I'm like, wow, my first full year here at the job is really over and we're getting ready for football.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm done broadcasting now unless I go help for Xyra Elkhorn Kimbleton Audubon. But I'm like, yeah, it's just weird now to think we got 1 month until we broadcast again, and that'll be volleyball. But I know tennis is coming up August 6th, I think they start, and we'll be covering three different schools now with Carroll having a tennis program. So, yeah, I mean, what a great year for sports. Obviously not done yet with Xyra Elkhorn Kimbleton Audubon. They could kind of put the cherry on top here if they can right the ship and win here today. But, you know, honestly, there's not much more you can ask for out of our teams to, you know, put two for football. You got three for basketball, a bunch of kids for state track, wrestlers, and even now two for the summer sports season.
Yeah, I was talking with Jeff yesterday, and I said, this has got to be, he said, despite his early years when he was here, when they had like three or four teams out at state volleyball, and then a couple teams playing at the Dome at football, he goes, this has been one of the best years that we have had sports-wise, you know, in the area since he got here. I agree 100%. I think you look at all the teams that made the state tournaments, and not only the teams that made the state tournaments, but teams that we're on the doorstep of getting to state tournaments. You know, we were incredibly busy this summer and this summer and the fall and the winter, and you turn around and expect it just to come right again in the fall. You know, we expect some really good volleyball and some really good football here in the fall.
Yeah, obviously we're going to lose a lot of good seniors. I mean, even last night I said it on the air, you know, you lose the Cal Haydens, those type of kids. It's like, oh, that's tough. But now it's like some eighth graders that are going to be freshmen are going to step in. We're going to have a new class of kids coming in, and we're going to have to, you know, kind of, we're going to look back and we're going to say, well, it was a fun year, but now it's time to start kind of working forward. But I think that, you know, everyone's going to get a year older. You know, and obviously in high school, the maturity level starts to grow once you go from a sophomore to a junior to a senior. So we should see a lot of still success in our area.
Yeah, we should still see a lot of success going on into the fall. We do have, I think, if I remember correctly, the dates for our previous shows for volleyball and football have been announced. I think I've got that saved somewhere, if I remember correctly. I just got to look at what Jeff sent me. But those will be coming up here very soon, as they'll be, Jeff and Mason will be talking with all of our area football and volleyball coaches coming into the season. Just a little quickly, what are you looking forward to the most here in the fall, you think?
I love football season, of course. First off, I love that it's not going to be super hot. We're going to start to cool down and kind of hang out and have football. I'm excited to just see the expectations of football teams. I know that we should have some really highly touted football teams, but then I'm also excited for volleyball season because I've kind of grown to like volleyball a little bit more now over this last year, and just I think that we're going to have some really good volleyball teams as well. So I'm like, we should really have a complete fall season.
Yeah, I think that's Jeff growing off on you, because I didn't really know much about volleyball, and then you sit down with Jeff, who understands the game pretty well, and it rubs off on you. That'll wrap up KCIM Sports Rewind for you here on this Tuesday. Check out a podcast of it in just moments.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM, 95.